Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. You're live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Oh, I'm looking forward to this next segment. I've been looking forward to this segment for the last 3 days. High school baseball has just taken us out of the studio. We are being joined right now over the phone by a very good friend of mine and a great friend of the show, Steve Bordstein. And as long as I have known Steve, we have had this conversation, A, on air, B, off air, and C, through text message about Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and the incompetence of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And even though we are a couple of days late to the table, there is a lot to get into, including the Cincinnati Reds paying tribute to Pete Rose 1 day after MLB reinstatement. Steve, I am thrilled to have you along on the show today. Thank you so much for the time.
Well, and thank you for the time, and just for the edification of your listeners here, the A and B conversations on air and off air are not nearly as entertaining as the unfiltered, uncensored conversations that Jordan and I have had about this topic for essentially the last 15 years now. So, yeah, there's been a lot of back and forth on this one.
I typically will upset listeners when talking about Pete Rose. And I made this comment the other day on air. My uncle, who was a Pete Rose fan, has told me time and time again, oh, he's a great person. He's excellent. He's so nice. No, he's only nice because you paid him to be nice to you. I've never bought the idea that Pete Rose is a good person. But that argument doesn't necessarily have to translate into the idea of him getting into the Hall of Fame. I think there's a lot of questionable characters in the Hall of Fame. Now that Major League Baseball has reinstated Pete Rose and the Cincinnati Reds have been able to pay tribute to him, there's several layers to this, right? The time frame of this particular topic goes back, Steve, almost 40 years. This has been a topic in Major League Baseball, and I still do not believe that we are any closer to a resolution today as far as Pete Rose getting into the Hall of Fame than we were going back to 1989. I don't think he gets in, and I think that's going to be the conversation now.
Well, that is going to be the conversation, and I want to go back to something you said a moment ago about him being a nice guy. And there's a lot of baseball players that are in the Hall of Fame already that were bad guys, right? Ty Cobb was a bad guy. There's allegations again about steroids and drug use among other players that are already in the Hall of Fame. That is irrelevant to the conversation regarding Pete Rose. I'm not asking for those players to be removed from the Hall of Fame. And I'm not ignoring the fact that there might be some validity to the allegations of those guys being not necessarily great people. I'm not arguing for their exclusion. I'm arguing for the inclusion, against the inclusion, of a known bad guy. That's it. The two sides of this are completely opposite from one another. Ty Cobb was a miserable human being, but he didn't violate the rules of baseball, to our knowledge, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Kicking him out is not going to happen. So this is trying to prevent an obvious mistake from happening. And you mentioned the time frame here, and I'm a fan of history, so I went back and I wanted to have exact dates for your listeners here and for you so that this conversation has an actual direction here, because there's a couple of layers to this. It all goes back to August 24, 1989, when then Commissioner Bart Giamatti banned Pete Rose from baseball permanently. And I want to emphasize the word permanently, because it's going to come up in this conversation over and over again, the difference between a permanent ban and a lifetime ban. He was banned from baseball permanently in August 24, 1989. Bart Giamatti died 8 days later, which is another story all in another itself, but we'll get back to that. February 4, 1991, the Baseball Hall of Fame, which is different from Major League Baseball. Those are two completely separate entities. The Baseball Hall of Fame and Major League Baseball are not one and the same. They don't have any connection at all together. The Baseball Hall of Fame decides that any player or any person who's on the permanently banned list cannot be inducted into the Hall of Fame, period. Permanently excluded. not lifetime excluded, permanently.
That's okay. So I got to stop you right there because that is one of the biggest keys, I think, in the whole Pete Rose and the Shoeless Joe Jackson, debates that have been running rampant. Okay, I agree with the idea that a lifetime ban ends the day you die. And the reason why a lifetime ban should end the day you die is because it doesn't give you the ability to profit off of A, being in the Hall of Fame, or B, being associated with Major League Baseball. That's why it ends. That's why it's a lifetime ban, okay? We're not talking about a lifetime ban for Pete Rose. We're talking about a permanent ban. There's a difference.
There is a difference. It's not just a definition difference. It's an actual difference.
Yes.
Permanent is permanent. Lifetime is lifetime. So let's fast forward now, all these years later, and think of the world in 1989 and 1991, and think of the technological changes that have taken place, and think about the way our mannerisms have changed, and the way we look at people from 30 years ago, and things, we look at people differently than we did 30 years ago. Like, even like the worst people in the world. Look, the Menendez brothers are going to get out of jail in a week and a half here because of what happened 35 years ago. It wasn't that big a deal. They paid their price. Let them out already. Think of how the world has changed. So on September 30th of 2024, Pete Rose dies. Now, everyone's saddened. Because it brings back all the stories, right? It brings back all the Major League Baseball people and the Hall of Fame people, how horrible they are that Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame yet. You and I had this conversation. I remember this conversation. We may have even had it on your show. Can you recall any instance whatsoever of Major League Baseball postseason broadcast? Don't forget, the playoffs started the day after Pete Rose died. Do you remember Fox TV, ESPN, TBS airing one tribute at all for Pete Rose after he died?
I don't.
You know why? Because there weren't any.
And the reason being?
And the reason, I believe, is how hypocritical would it be for Major League Baseball, 35 years after he was banned from baseball for gambling on baseball, 35 years later, we want to say our thoughts and prayers to Pete Rose and his family and blah, blah, blah. And, Pete Rose had an amazing career. Unfortunately, it was tarnished by the gambling, blah, 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 blah. We'll be right back with more of the pregame show. But in the meantime, here's 2 minutes of commercials featuring DraftKings, MGM Grand, and Caesars Palace, all of whom are promoting gambling on baseball. You'll look like hypocrites if you do it. Major League Baseball knows it. The networks knew it. They didn't do it. They stayed away from it. It was the smart play, but they look cold and callous. So that's September 30th, 2024, okay? Let's fast forward now to March 2nd. And this is where this gets a little fuzzy here. And this is where I think the impetus happened, where this whole story of the last several days comes from. March 2nd, 2025, President Donald Trump pardons Pete Rose. He signs an executive order, which is essentially has as much power and as much authority as me telling you what to do after we get off the air this afternoon. Signs an executive order that says that he's pardoned for the income tax evasion conviction. And he writes on a Truth Social post that he should be allowed back in baseball. And while even Trump said it himself in that Truth Social post, he shouldn't have bet on baseball, but all he did was bet on his team to win. And we'll get to that in a second, because it goes to the how things have changed in 35 years. If those things don't happen, Giamatti, MLB, Hall of Fame people, Rose dying, and Trump's post, if those four things don't happen, we're not having this conversation today, because Pete Rose would still be permanently banned, and Pete Rose would still not be in the Hall of Fame, and no one would care at all about what was about any of this, because we wouldn't be having this discussion whatsoever.
Again, Steve Bortstein joining us right now as we talk about the latest hot topic, I guess the latest turn in the Pete Rose saga. We can get into the gambling in just a moment, because you're right. Times have changed. It's completely different today, and you have a stellar point on this that I definitely want to make sure we get into. Before we get to that point, why do people care? Why has this been a topic that runs rampant at least 3 to 4 times a year? Why do people who don't know the difference between Major League Baseball and Pacific Coast League Baseball seem to have an opinion on if Pete Rose should or shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame? Why? I've never been able to figure that out.
It's funny because I hate to use this term, because usually when people use this term, this word, it's usually affiliated with something involving, I don't know, social equality or, you know, diversity or something. The term is woke. This is a very woke topic. And so every couple of years it gets drummed up in conversation and everyone gets really fired up about it, because it's the same reason that people who watch, and I've had this conversation with people in my line of work and among friends of mine. Why does Disney have to recreate characters in movies that are different colors than they used to be when the originals came out? Why is it that such and such character is now portrayed as a different race than they were when the original came out 50 years ago? Right? It's a woke topic.
Yeah.
And usually I shy away from that whole conversation, because to me it's just irrational. And why do you care so much? Okay, well, same thing. Why do you care so much? Pete Rose, for the majority of people who would argue on behalf of Pete Rose would spit on you in a heartbeat if he didn't know you.
Yep.
So why do you care about this person? Which also brings back to your point earlier about what a miserable person he was. As a young, impressionable horse racing enthusiast that I was, and still am in many ways to this day, as a young, impressionable horse racing enthusiast in his early 20s, who used to attend the races at a track called Los Alamitos Racecourse in Cypress, California, which is about 11 miles from Disneyland, I stood in line with Pete Rose while he gambled thousands and thousands of dollars away every race. I've run bets for Pete Rose. I have recommended horses to Pete Rose. I sold selections on my horse races, horse racing tracks that I covered. I sold selections to Pete Rose. Pete Rose gambled on everything. That doesn't make him a bad person.
No.
Who he was. That's just who he was. And it was all legal. Horse racing gambling was legal at that time. I didn't know about I didn't care that he bet on baseball. I didn't know for sure he did. I heard he did, but I didn't know for sure, and I didn't really care because it wasn't my business. He paid me, and when I was right, he paid me more. Great. His money spends just as well as anyone else's did. But that's the reason why we care, because we have this idea now that somehow or another, what was a bad guy 35 years ago, well, he's gone now, so maybe he wasn't that bad a guy. Really? I would still beg to differ. He's still a pretty bad guy.
It's always like when we see someone that has been disgraced in some regard, they pass away, ESPN, Fox, whoever, they're going to put the picture of them up. They're going to have the tender moving music behind them, and then they fade to black and go to commercial break. That doesn't fit a lot of people. And I'm not judging, okay? I don't believe that that's the way I should be looked at either by the time my time comes to an end. But just because a network hits us in the feel goods does not take away the previous 50 years of disgraceful behavior.
Correct. And, you know, and to that same point, like, I hope when my time comes, I hope there's a good chuckle in the room. For that time, yeah, that's what I hope for, you know. I don't want people to be all weepy and be like, oh, man, Steve was really a good guy. No, I hope people will be like, remember that time Steve said that one thing to that one woman? Yeah, I remember that. That's what I want, you know. And I don't know if Pete Rose would want to be remembered as like, oh, he was a really giving guy, because last time I don't recall him like donating to any charity. The last visuals I have of Pete Rose was selling merchandise showing up at autograph shows in Las Vegas, showing up at autograph shows in Cooperstown on the day of the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies so that he could somehow distract people from being at the actual Hall of Fame ceremonies. Pete Rose was a shameless self-promoter, which, again, not illegal, not immoral, just kind of bad taste all around. And generally, again, one of the reasons why he's a bad guy.
Steve, we are running a tad bit late. I don't want this conversation to stop, but I do have to pause for a commercial break. You got time to hang around for another segment?
Absolutely, my friend.
Perfect. More Drive Time Sports coming up. We're being joined right now by Steve Bordstein as we talk about Pete Rose here on Drive Time Sports. Back in just a moment.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome back into Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios. Really enjoying this conversation right now. We got my good friend Steve Bordstein on as we talk about the complicated legacy and the unclear future of what will happen with Pete Rose. All right, Steve, for those who say, well, he bet on, and this includes President Trump, well, he bet on baseball, but he always bet on his team to win. He never bet against his team. Okay, you're going to bring up a great angle, but I'm going to give you my piece on this. First off, we had to hear for years, I never bet on baseball. I never bet on baseball. Then it was, okay, I bet on baseball, but I never bet on my team. And for years, it was, well, he bet on baseball, but he never bet on his team. And then it became, all right. Look, I bet on baseball, I bet on my team, but I never bet on my team to lose. So the lie has kind of evolved over the past 35 years, right? And let's say he didn't bet on his team to lose, which there is no reason for me to believe that that is true. No reason. Do I believe that Pete Rose bet on his team to win and lose? Absolutely. He lied for the last 35, 40 years of his life. You bring up a great point. I'll play devil's advocate and say, well, there's no proof. Jordan, you can't say that because there's no proof that he did bet on his team to lose. Ah, but there is quite the loophole in the way the gambling circuit worked back when Pete Rose was gambling on baseball.
So today, there's countless betting apps that are out there. There's Twin Spires for horse racing. There's MGM Grand. There's Caesars Palace. There's DraftKings. There's a ton of them out there. And all of them now, in your account, they have a record of how you bet, what you bet, how much is in your account, how much was in your account, whatever. 1989, that didn't exist. 1989, if you wanted to bet on sports, you had a few options. You went to Las Vegas, you went to Atlantic City, or you had a bookie. So I want you, unless you're driving, of course, if you're driving, don't do this, just follow along with me. But if you're not driving, close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to imagine a couple of bookies. I'm going to name them Fat Eddie and Big Guido, just because those sound like bookies' names to me. I don't know why. Fat Eddie and Big Guido have a large clientele gamblers who, again, don't live in Vegas, don't live in Atlantic City, and do not have access to apps that currently do not exist at that point on how to gamble on sports illegally, which, again, all sports gambling at that point was illegal, unless you lived in Vegas or Atlantic City or overseas. So Fat Eddie and Big Guido have a large client list. They know what their clients are betting. Fat Eddie and Big Guido are friends. They keep in contact with one another, and they keep in contact with their clients. Let's say Pete Rose always bet on his team to win. I'll give him that. What message does he send, though, to those bookies and those bookies' clients when Pete Rose doesn't bet, that he doesn't like his team to win? If he only bets on his team to win, isn't he influencing the gambling patterns of other gamblers who are performing the illegal act at that time of gambling on baseball by not gambling on his team at all?
Bingo.
Bingo. That's betting on baseball, and that's breaking the rules, the cardinal rule of baseball. That's where the argument falls flat. Yes, today we could go back We could look at Pete Rose's betting account and on any number of different apps that are available today and see, oh, well, Pete Rose was right. He only bet on his team to win. But that would be private information. There's no privacy limitation, no privacy statute with Fat Eddie and Big Guido. Fat Eddie and Big Guido, they're trying to make a profit. They're trying to get your money as a gambler. So they're gonna pass along whatever information they can to their respective clients. Pete Rose not gambling, if he only gambled to win, which again, if he did, that's fine. But by not betting, he's influencing the gambling patterns of other people who are gambling illegally on baseball.
And typically, if you have, at that particular time, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you do have a little bit of a connection to Pete Rose, at that particular time, would there be kickbacks to Pete if he wasn't gambling on the Reds to lose, but he was at least giving the idea by not betting on them to win that it was going to be a tough out? Would he not get some sort of kickback on that?
Sure, he'd get rebates. Absolutely he would. That because information at that point was power. Information, if Fat Eddie had worked out a deal with Pete Rose and he said, hey, I'm not going to bet on my team to lose because I don't want to get in trouble. But you know, if I don't bet, you can tell your clients, hey, the Reds might not be a good play today. Absolutely. And there's rebates in that. And there's kickbacks in that. And if you don't think that Pete Rose didn't know that there were kickbacks or rebates involved in that, then you don't know the gambling world. And trust me when I say this. As someone who has gambled on sports, you know, I don't partake much to these days anymore at all. I'm married now. I'm happy being away from it. But I understand it, and I get it, and I still some days I just don't need to be around it because it can be it's like any addiction. You don't want one bet, you want 10 bets, and it's like any addiction, and it's hard to describe it unless you've been there. If Pete Rose knew that, then he took advantage of it over and over and over again. And again, forget about what we know about gambling today. Forget about what you know about the legalities of it and the popularity of it because of MGM Grand and Caesar's Palace and bad actors doing DraftKings commercials. Forget about all you know about gambling today. Gambling in 1989 was a different animal, and it was a far more... it was a far more shady world than it is today in 2025.
He is Steve Bordstein, always kind enough to take the time out to join us to talk about some of the hot topics. Anything else you want to add to the Pete Rose, Joe Jackson, and everything that has come out over the last 72 hours?
If you've never seen the movie Eight Men Out, watch it. It's a beautiful film, one of my favorite baseball movies of all time. It is a bit sad in the way that it portrays Shoeless Joe Jackson, but it's unfortunate that Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose are included in the same sentence, because I don't believe that Joe Jackson was a bad guy. I believe Joe Jackson made bad choices, and that's why he's on the permanently unable to be in the permanent exclusion list. But if you've never seen the movie Eight Men Out, see it. Pete Rose was, and always will be remembered as a bad dude. And I'm not arguing that we take out all the bad dudes from Major League, from the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm arguing that we keep out the one that we know is a bad dude. And I don't believe that the majority of the voters that are still voting members, I don't believe there's a chance in hell they're letting him into the Hall of Fame.
I agree. I don't think he gets in. I think it's going to be a topic of discussion, what, maybe for how many years before we can officially just end this and say, okay, now he can't get in?
I think he's not even going to be eligible until 2028.
Right.
Right? We're going to go through this for like another 2.5 years, for God's sake. So I think you put him on the ballot in 2028, and you get one shot. That's it. You got one shot at this. You get in, you get in. You don't, you don't. And we're done, because everyone's got to move on. Like, this has to come to an end. And by 2028, it will have been 39 years. We will have gone through nearly two generations of human beings. And if you can't convince 75% of whatever voting, whatever number it is of voters, if you can't convince those 200 some odd people that Pete Rose is should be in the Hall of Fame after nearly 40 years, no, you're done. You get one shot, and you're done. Steve, I don't want to hear it ever again. I don't want to. And if he gets in, God bless him. I'm not going to argue with him. I'm not a voting member. I don't have a vote in this. I wish I did, but I don't. So I can't. I can beg and plead all I want. I can come on your show and say what a horrible decision it would be, or this or that or the other. But if he gets in, round of applause. We induct him and we move on with our lives.
Always a pleasure to get Steve Bornstein on the show. Steve, before I let you go, tell us where we can find more of you.
You can follow me on Twitter at S Bornstein. That's S-B-O-R-T-S-T-E-I-N on Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook, which I prefer because Twitter is a cesspool, at Sports with Steve Bornstein. And you can also check out my newspaper's website at Tri-City Record NM, that's New Mexico, tricityrecordnm.com.
I agree with you. As far as Twitter is concerned, it is literally a public bathroom stall.
I've been working on this angle, this comparison. See if this works for you. On like the degrees of social media. Instagram is your like elementary school, and it's artwork, and it's people putting up flowers, right? And
yeah,
then you have Facebook, which is like, you know, your first fight in high school. And then Twitter is that dirty bar at the end of the road that nobody goes into anymore, because there's at the end of the night, every night, there's always going to be a broken beer bottle fight. This is social media.
That's a perfect analogy. Absolutely.
I mean that is social media by and large. Down. I'm just like I go on social media. I go on Twitter or whatever they call it now. I go there and I literally feel like this like layer of filth that comes off of me the minute I'm on there. And it's like, oh, get me. It's like looking at roadkill. Slowing down to look at roadkill, and then you move on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a good place. Did you ever see that movie, This is the End? Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, that's it.
That's exactly what Twitter is.
It is.
That's what Twitter is. Hey, Steve Bornstein, always kind enough to join us on the show. Steve, thank you so much for hanging out for a couple of segments. Really enjoyed the conversation. Can't wait to do it again.
Absolutely, my friend. Thank you.
Again, Steve Bornstein, always kind enough to take out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. Let's pause one more time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of the show when we return.